Why would anybody say that discipleship is free? Why is it that we so often see these television evangelists and many evangelists and ministers stand before a group of people and then tell the congregation that discipleship is absolutely free? I cannot stress enough that that is absolutely a falsehood. That is not correct. There is nothing about our spirituality. There is nothing about us becoming a Christian that didn't have a cost associated with it. Do you get that? When we think about that and we look back and see what the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, down in verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." There's a cost right there, isn't it? What did it cost God? It cost Him His Son. So, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," there's a cost. That means that we've got to stop going by tradition and start believing in the Lord and His Word. Amen? Yeah? All right, so there's a cost. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." The book of Romans, chapter 5, down in verse 8, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There's a cost right there. Do you agree with that? In the book of 1 John 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ." There's a cost right there. His Son cleanses us from all of our what? We also know that our freedom, our spiritual liberties that you and I love and appreciate by being a disciple of the Lord, we know without a doubt that it cost Jesus His own life upon that cruel cross, knowing that Jesus was rejected, knowing that He had been beaten, knowing that He had been mocked, knowing that He had been spat upon, knowing that our Jesus had been made fun of, and all of these different things, all because Jesus loved us enough and was willing to pay the cost so for you and me to be able to go to heaven. Does that make any sense to you? So don't ever say that discipleship is free. It absolutely is not free. It was extremely expensive. I have to think about John 14, 6. What does the Bible say there? "I am the truth and the" what? "No man comes to the Father," the Bible says, "except" what? Let us also be reminded of Isaiah chapter 53, all found. Isaiah 53, is everybody there? All right, we're going to look at 12 verses. The scripture says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The Bible says, "For he shall grow up as him tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3, "He's despised, rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not even esteem him." Do you see that? Is there a cost so far for Jesus? Absolutely. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs, He's carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him stricken. The Bible says, smitten by God and afflicted. The Bible says, but He, Jesus Christ, was what? Give me the next word. He was wounded for whose transgressions? Is that a cost or not? Absolutely. Say it like you mean it. Is that a cost? Absolutely. So don't ever say that there's not a cost to discipleship. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of whose peace was upon who? And by His stripes, the scripture says, we are what, congregation? We are healed. All we like sheep gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who will declare Jesus' generation? For he was, watch this, he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the Lord's talking about, watch this, the people says he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done, somebody tell me how much violence Jesus had done? No violence, thank you, little sister. Nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering of sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Go to 11. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he, Jesus, shall bear their what? Very good, Jerry Jr., iniquities. That's talking about sin, talking about evil, yeah? Yeah? Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. I will, watch this, and he will shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul even unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he, Jesus, bore the sin of many and made intercession, the Bible says, for the transgressors. So when you look at that passage of Scripture, and we see that that was about 700 years before the actual crucifixion of Christ, do you see clearly that there was a cost involved? It cost Jesus all types of things, didn't it? Ultimately, we know, Jared, that it cost him his life, didn't it? So it cost God his Son, it cost Jesus his life, and we know that Jesus had made many friends on the way. So we also know that it cost heartache. Over in John chapter 14, around verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be, believe in God, believe also." Why? They were hurting because Jesus had to, the prophecy had to be fulfilled. What Rob was talking about, prophecy being fulfilled, and Jesus himself had done all these great wonders. Jesus had made friends with these followers. They trusted him, and then he made the announcements, that dreaded announcement, "I got to go. I got to leave." They, like you and I, was hurt. They were pricked. They were torn up in their hearts. They didn't know what to do. I'm sure they were saddened. I'm sure they was probably a little aggravated. But I love the calming words that Jesus used when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Once again, remember that discipleship is not free. If you'll go over to the book of Luke chapter 9, I'm going to show you something else, how it's not free for me and you either. Discipleship is not free. We know that it costs God, it costs Jesus, and it will cost you and me as well if we desire to follow after the righteousness of God. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you think everybody's there? I don't know, through about maybe 26. Let's see what's going on with that passage. The Bible says, then, let's see, Luke 9, what, 23? Then he said to who? Who's them? Who's them all? Those disciples. Very good. Who are we today? All right, we're the same. We're disciples. The disciples were first called in Antioch. Okay, so it's okay if we want to be called disciples. We are called Christians today. But he said to them all, talking of all of us, "If anyone desires to come after me," here's one of your costs right here. Y'all ready? "Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Do you understand that there's a cost in that? We're not talking about what you put in the offering plate. We're talking about there's a cost. Let him deny himself. Well, we're going to look at that here in just a moment a little bit further. Whoever desires to save his life, you're going to lose it. Whoever loses his life for the sake of the Lord, you'll save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. When we look at that passage of Scripture, it makes it very, very clear that there is a cost involved. I love verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will what? All right, but whoever loses his life, whoever gives his life completely to the Lord, the Bible says you'll save it. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his teaching, constantly emphasized, brothers and sisters, the importance of true discipleship. He made sure that he talked about that all of the time, but he also spoke about the cost of this discipleship. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you and I, do we, as we're talking about the lesson today, discipleship is not free, do you understand very serious that there is a cost in being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you agree with that? Do you agree so far that discipleship is absolutely not free? Okay, so I believe it's extremely important that we're all reminded of the cost of being a follower, a student of God. We all need to be reminded of some things that God expects of his people. Jesus wants, our Father in heaven not only wants it, he commands it, he requires it, he demands it, his followers, to follow him with all of their heart. You know, when, listen, Brother Larry, Jesus says to follow him with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their soul. He wants all of us, amen? Do you know what that word all means in the Greek? All. That's exactly what that means. He wants every single ounce of you and me. No limitation, amen? So I want to make sure that we understand that when we talk about and we hear people doing this, as they're talking to their brothers and sisters, as they're talking to other people about discipleship, there's no cost involved. Stop teaching. Don't teach another person. Stop where you're at till you get that corrected, because you're already misleading someone. There's a huge cost. A lot of that price has already been paid, hasn't it? But the Bible talks about denying ourselves and doing what we're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 6, then in verse 33, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that your preacher stays on in every lesson. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? And when you do that, all of these things, thank you, Jerry, all of these things shall be added unto you. The first point I want us to consider this morning is we're talking about discipleship not being free. Let's understand this about discipleship. A true disciple of God cannot love anyone or anything more than God. Does that make sense? That's a cost. Because in this life today, there's a whole lot of stuff I really love, but I can't love it more than God. There's people in this life today that I love, can't love them more than God. There are things that I love to do, but I can't put them before God. I've got hobbies. I've got things that I love to do on the outside. I've got interest in other areas as well, but I can't let that come before me and God. Amen? So there is a cost. That is part of that denying ourselves, taking up that cross, and following Jesus. I, brothers and sisters, choose to stand at the foot of the cross. I'm not going to stand at a distance from that cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have no desire to stand far away from the cross of Jesus Christ, looking at that cross, knowing what He's done for me, and I'm just going to stand away from it. I've got too many other interests. I've got too many other hobbies. I've got too many things I want to do than to stand close to the foot of the cross where my Savior gave His life for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, huge cost for your freedom and mine. Are you in agreement with that? Huge cost. Don't let these things debilitate your walk with Jesus Christ. Don't you let anyone or anything get in your way or derail you, brothers and sisters, from doing what you know that it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have people in our lives today that mean the world to us. Nothing wrong with that. We have a lot of people in our lives that we love a whole lot, and some we love absolutely dearly, but we can't love them more than God. Amen? Okay. As a group of God's people, I know that we love our children. We love our grandchildren. A lot of grandparents, if you're like me, I'll tell you the truth, we love our grandchildren better than we do our children. Look at Jerry and Amy both shaking their head. But we do. But I still, as much as I love my grandkids and as much as I love my family, I cannot put them before God. Do you get that? And you can't either. I think about what the Bible says in Luke 14, down in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brothers, and sisters, yes, even his own life also. He says, if you don't do that, finish it up. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate all that support that Bobby just had. You cannot be, the Bible says, my disciple. Now, Bobby, they kicked in. They felt sorry for me and you, didn't they? You cannot be my disciple. So if you're putting wife, brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew, you're putting children before God, you already messed up. You don't like it, do you? Oh, Jerry, you're just grumpy today. Yep, you betcha. When I see people and I catch myself putting things and putting people, and I catch myself doing that from time to time, putting other things before God, I need to be aggravated at myself. Amen? You need correction. I need correction. We want that correction because the Bible tells us that that's what the Scriptures are for, to instruct, to help us get to that place called heaven. Listen. When Jesus used the word hate in that particular passage of Scripture, Jesus was not advocating, listen, He was not advocating hatred with animosity, was He? That's not what He was talking about. Jesus was simply saying, make sure that I, God, am first. You better, in comparison to that, you better hate your mother, daddy, brother, sister, husband, wife, kids, whatever, compared to how much you love me. Is that what He's saying? All right. Sadly, there are many, many people today that's in love with the world. We know that that can't be right. And apparently, listen to me, there's a lot of people that love their spouses. There's a lot of people that love their children. That's a wonderful thing. But don't let that get in your way of your relationship with God. I hope you remember the passage of Scripture that clearly tells us that we cannot love anyone or anything else more than God. A question for you and me to think about this very moment. Are we, seriously speaking, are we putting Christ before other people? Is Christ Jesus our commanding officer this very day? Is Jesus Christ the captain of our ship? Is Jesus Christ, is He the one? Is God the ultimate in our life today? If not, please, let's work together and get God back as our master. Amen? There is no one that can come before you and God. Do you get that? Nobody that can come before God. Your preacher can't, your teacher can't, your elder cannot, your member cannot, your wife cannot, nobody but nobody but nobody. It is God and you. Amen? Say that with me. It is God and you. Nobody else and nothing else. There is no one, as I say, that can come between you and our Heavenly Father. So make sure you remember our first point. A true disciple of God cannot love anyone or anything else more than his Father. The second point we're going to examine is this. A true disciple of God, listen to me, a true disciple of God cannot love one's own life more than God. Now, there's a lot of people that love themselves. Aren't we supposed to love ourselves? Okay, four people's responded. Aren't we supposed to love ourselves? All right, look up some people. There we go. All right, so here's what we got to make sure we understand. If we don't love ourselves, probably not going to love others. If we wake up in a real shabby mood and we just like, man, I hate the world, you're probably not going to be very pleasant that day, are you? You're probably not going to give somebody flowers. You're probably not going to let them pull out in traffic in front of you. No. No, get in front of me, you heathen. What are we doing? We have got, brothers and sisters, listen. We have got to make sure that we love other people. We've got to make sure that we love God. And a true disciple of God cannot love ourselves better than anybody else or better than God. But we've got to love ourselves. Don't take that wrong. But can't love ourselves more than God. Meaning what? God's first, I'm second. Is that right? Say it. God first, I'm second. I know the statement sounds a little bit silly when you first hear it, when I said it just a moment ago. But it is something that we seriously need to think about, and we need to be warned about that. When we love ourselves more than we love God, we have a serious soul-endangering problem that needs attention, and it needs attention quickly. Look at the number of people in the world today that love themselves more than God. Now, listen, they aren't going to admit it. People will not stand up today and say today, well, I definitely love God, but I sure love myself more. No, they're probably not going to admit that. But their actions will certainly demonstrate that. Does that make any sense? Our actions are determined by our mindset. So if we're engaging in something, our mind is set on that. If we are refraining from that or staying away from that, our mind is not in that. We are going to do, and I go back to what Nancy Johnson taught me about 7 or 8 years ago. She said, Jerry, chill out. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, people are going to do what they're going to do. Isn't that right, Nancy? Isn't that what you taught me? So I thought, well, okay, I can quit pouting then, and I can learn from Nancy, and I did. And it's helped me for many, many years because, you know, as a preacher, you preach lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. Then you think, well, I just don't see a whole lot of change. And then you preach a little harder, and you preach a little lighter, and you preach a little this, and you preach a little that, and just not much change. And then I was getting frustrated, and then Nancy lit me up one Wednesday night, and then I thought, well, okay, whatever, and I'll let that go. But there's a lot of people today seriously loving one's own life more than they do the Father. Some people are loving themselves more than God in that of neglecting your attendance in the church. I wonder why there's so many folks today that look lightly, and I know the preachers talk about this church attendance thing, but it's not just about showing up and getting in the pew. I believe and I'm convinced today that there are people that can come into the building and sit in the pew and still be absent. Amen. That can certainly happen. When we walk into the building and we sit down in the pew and we're listening to the preacher or we're listening to the person doing the Lord's Supper or we're listening to this and we're listening to that, and then our mind begins to wander and then we are focused on everything else but worshiping God, we're still absent. Amen? We may be here in body, but we're absent. If we don't come in with the right mindset, if we don't come in with the fact that I'm not walking in. And let me tell you, let me be very clear. I did not walk into those doors today. I did not drive from Kentucky to Nashville to walk in those doors today and be served. I did not do that. I walked in to serve. Amen. I walked in because my God is awesome. My Heavenly Father deserves the praise. He deserves the worship. I came here to do that. That's why the reason I'm here, because I love God. I love my Heavenly Father, and I came here to worship Him. I chose to come with these group of people that I'm seeing here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing, make melody, to hear the reading of God's Word. Thank you, Jerry. I know it's a huge reading, but thank you so much for that. To have the Lord's Supper explained to us, that we do that in remembrance of what Jesus told us to do. To look out and see my brothers and sisters in Christ. Those things are very encouraging. But John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him and in truth. Very good. All right. So why are we neglecting not just a physical attendance, but sometimes we come in here and you would, this is one of those mean things, some people would have probably been better off not even been here. Preacher, don't ever say that. They might. Because there's people in the church today that sows discord among the brethren. You agree with that? There are people today that cannot keep their pie hole shut. There are people today that's got to stir up something. Have you ever noticed, even here at JA, even at College Grove, when I was at Fosterville, I don't know, maybe it's the preacher. But everywhere I've ever been, everywhere I've been that I wasn't the preacher, there's it seems that every single time things get calm, and things are going well, and we're seeing good things happening in the congregation, somebody or some group will change that. Do you agree with that? That ought not be. We come here for a purpose. We came here to worship God. Jerry Ladd, Sr., stop keeping a chip on your shoulder. Well, the chips are getting smaller. They're not big as they used to be, but I still have that problem. You still have that problem. We still have that problem. If they don't cater us, this church don't cater us a certain way, heck with them, I'll go somewhere else. Isn't that kind of the mindset of people? Isn't that about right? But that's wrong, isn't it? Let's make sure that we understand the cost of discipleship. And the cost of discipleship is to make sure that we're not in love with us so much that we can't love others. Now, I've often said many times before, I said it jokingly. Darlene rolled out laughing back there the first time I said that. I said, you know what, Darlene? I am so awesome. If I wasn't me, I would be with me. And then she said, you need help, Jerry. And then that was the end of it. The reality is it's okay to love ourselves, and we should love ourselves, but make sure we're not loving ourselves more than God. Amen? All right. So I want us to understand, too, as we talk about a true disciple of God cannot love one's life more than God. Jerry just read to us that beautiful passage in Romans chapter 6. A lot of reading there, a lot of reading. But probably that passage of Scripture is what helps keep me on the straight and narrow. Dead to sin, alive to who? Very good. Very good, Jacob. Alive to God. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, the Bible tells us to make sure that there's a change come about in our life. Isn't that right? Be transformed by the renewing of our what? There you go. Change it. Change it. Change the way you're living. Make sure that we are living for Jesus Christ. Y'all ready for your third point? Here's your third. A true disciple of God, listen, must be willing to give up everything for Jesus Christ. Now, that's hard. A true disciple of Jesus Christ must be willing to give up everything. That means relationships with people that you may love. You agree with that? It means that you may have to give up a situation you're in. My older brother Jim used to work at a company called Tennessee Wine and Spirits. When he was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, his conviction was so strong he had to leave his job. Plus, when the boss said, you're fired, that had something to do with it as well. But the reality is he was actually going to resign. But his newfound love of Christ motivated him to make a correction. I have a younger brother named Eddie. Dana, I guess you have a brother named Eddie as well. Eddie had a job at a place called Austin Periodicals. Austin Periodicals sold Playboy magazine. Anybody ever heard of them? Be careful, Jerry. Jerry's like, yeah, I have a 1986 collection. All right, so there was like Penthouse, Playboy. They're very suggestive literature that a lot of people look at, sadly, because it can nothing but contaminate. My brother's job was to make sure that when you walked into a store, that's where you enticed by. He had to make a change. That's part of taking up your cross, isn't it? That's part of making the decisions. Hey, can I still be an effective Christian? Can I still do what God is wanting me to do? Well, I can do that on Sunday morning and Sunday, and I can do that on a Wednesday evening. But when I'm trying to make a profit at other people's spiritual expense, brothers and sisters, I'm in trouble, aren't I? So it warranted a denial. It warranted a change, and he had to deny some things. So are you this moment willing to give up old habits? Tony, I can't help. When I was putting the list together, I thought about you, brother. That's kind of odd that your preacher was thinking about you 11:20 last night, wasn't it? But the reality is, I'm thinking about Tony, and such an inspiration to us, man. I mean, 21 weeks in a row. He's been here when other people have been skipping out. He's been here when these faithful Christians have been around forever, luckily to show up. Tony, thank you, man. We appreciate it. How hard it is. I struggled when I quit smoking my Winston cigarettes. Tony's on over, 40 days now? I mean, 40 days. He could have been 40 nights and been part of the flood. And the reality, Tony, good job. But that is part of what he's doing. Tony is denying himself. He's taking up his cross. And Tony, you're following the Lord, aren't you, buddy? That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. We can learn and we can encourage each other. Let me show you something real quick. I'll let you out in a minute or two, maybe. Will y'all go to Mark 10? You will? Will everybody besides you, sis? Anybody else besides Cynthia? I'll slow way down. I'm good with it. You good, Teresa? Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. So I want to take a look at an example of some that were not willing to give up everything for Jesus. Y'all good? Y'all ready? The Bible tells us, Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, talking about before Jesus, and asked him, said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one." And who is that? Thank you. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father, and also honor your" who? Mm-hmm. "And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my..." How long has he done it? "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said to him, one thing thou lackest, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross." And the Bible says, after you do that, thank you, Heather, "follow me." 22, "But he was sad at this word." The Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is an individual, brothers and sisters, that, listen, was not willing to give up the things of the world for Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? All right. So let's go check out another one. You ready for the book of Acts? In the book of Acts, everybody's responding now. So in the book of Acts, chapter 5, I'll speed it back up. Acts 5, 1 through 11, the Bible says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife," guess what they did? Thank you, Bobby. "Kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it," that means she knew it, "brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men," but guess who you're lying to? You're lying to God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last. Great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The young man arose, they wrapped him up, carried him out. Guess what they did to him? It was about 3 hours later, his wife comes strolling in, not knowing what happened. Peter asked her, said, "Tell me whether you sold the lamp so much." Guess what she did? She lied, didn't she? Say what she did. Heather, you the one said that before. That's why Wednesday night right back here. She lied. Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who buried your husband at the door. They will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last. The young man came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Then in the very next verse, "So fear came upon all the church and upon all those that heard these things." News travels quickly, doesn't it? So So they found out pretty quick, here's some pretty nasty stuff that happened to this husband and wife team. And as a result of them trying to defraud God, defrauding Christ, so to speak, we see what happened. It was death. I wonder today how many rich young rulers are sitting in here. As I look at myself and as I look at you. I wonder today how many Ananias and Sapphiras do we have gathered in this building today. We're just constantly lying to God. Constantly lying to Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord, but I'm not going to do what you're telling me. I love you, Father in heaven. Thank you for everything you're doing, but no, I'm not doing that. You're giving the devil his leeway. Amen? We've got to make sure we're not limiting God in our walk with him. There's another example, and you can look at that later today in Luke 16, 19 through 31, the rich man and Lazarus. You can see what's going on there. But what are you willing to give up today for Jesus Christ? What are you willing to give up for the Lord? Will it be the abusive language that is used from time to time? Will it be the wrong use of alcohol? Will you give that up? Will it be the horrible places that you frequent from time to time that God would certainly be displeased with? Are you willing to give that up? Will it be that of separating ourselves from some of the foolish things that we find ourselves engaged in? Let's just be real. If we want to be a Christian, then you've got to give it up. Amen? You've got to obey our Father in heaven. Give up everything for the Lord. Give up our greed. Our nation is the greediest group of folks in the world. It's crazy. America today, the United States, is more blessed than any country I've ever thought about. But we are the greediest individuals in the world. Bad habits, we all have it. We all need to work on it. Amen? Every single one of us. If you're looking around at other people, and if they got bad habits, you got a bad habit of looking around at other people, don't you? All right? Selfishness. Share everybody but me when it comes to peanut butter cookies. We also need to give up our time. Quit being so selfish, okay? Give up your time in serving Jesus Christ. We need to spend more time in God's Word. Does everybody need to spend more time in God's Word? All right. Seriously speaking, Paul told Timothy that, didn't he? That young preacher was coming up to help Paul. He said, study to show thyself unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. All right, I love y'all. I love the Lord, and I believe that you do as well, or you probably wouldn't be here today. But do you love the Lord enough to do what you're supposed to do? Do you love the Lord enough today to really and truly put Christ Jesus on in your life? John 14 and 15 brings it to a close, Brother Larry. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you love the Lord today, don't just verbally say it, show it. If you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, and you love the Lord, become a Christian. Man, become a servant of His. Hear His word. I gave it to you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He's God's Son. Make a change of your life. Repent of your sins. Start living for Jesus Christ. Make a confession in front of a witness or of these witnesses that you believe that Jesus is God's Son. That He was buried. He was murdered. He was buried. And then He was resurrected. Just like you and me are to be, put ourselves to death when we meet Christ in baptism, and then we too are resurrected in the, what you said a while ago, in the newness of life upon our baptism. Baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Live a faithful, obedient life the very best we can unto our death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you're a Christian, you've wandered from the fold of safety. Perhaps years ago you became a Christian. You were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, you know there's just a little something missing. We looked at the rich young ruler a while ago. He did all those great things, but there was still something missing. He went away sorrowful. Don't you leave this building sorrowful. Get things right in your walk with Jesus Christ. If you need to be restored, we'll help you. Do anything in the world for you. If you have a need, come right now. It's together. We stand.